There are sitcoms, there are dramas, and then there are the great TV shows that careen back and forth, making you laugh and cry and think and cringe. Shows like 6 Feet Under and The United States of Tara, both shows written in part by Jill Soloway. Soloway has now written and directed her first feature film. It's about how to be an adult, and I should say, if you're listening with little kids, this will be an adult conversation. Soloway's movie is called Afternoon Delight. It's the story of an affluent stay-at-home mother in Los Angeles who befriends a stripper and brings her home, and not just for the night.
Anyway, who would have thunk it? Ran into McKenna.
I don't know who McKenna is.
Oh, she's the dancer. She's the dancer that gave me that private thingy when we were there.
You mean the stripper?
Okay, sure. The stripper is in the maid's room.
The stripper's in the maid's room?
Yeah.
How did the stripper get in the maid's room?
And she's not just a stripper. She also has sex for money. Afternoon Delight won Soloway the Best Dramatic Directing Award at the Sundance Film Festival this year. And she is here with me now, Jill Soloway. Welcome to Studio 360.
Glad to be here.
The premise for Afternoon Delight, did this occur to you full-blown as a fictional conceit, or was there some real-life inspiration?
Well, there were a few steps. I remember, like, about 5 or so years ago, I went, you know, in one of those sort of ironic trips to a strip club with some friends. And while I was getting my lap dance, I started to, you know, be overcome with the idea that the stripper was in love with me and that she needed me to get her out of there.
Huh.
And thus a movie was conceived. No, I mean, at that time, I didn't really think about the movie. I just started to think comedically over the years of how funny it is that I think a friend of mine said, like, this movie is about the fact that, you know, men know that you don't bring strippers home, but women don't. And I think I was struck by the intimacy and the emotional connection that happens during a private dance. That, you know, you close that curtain and the girl dances, and it's not really just about getting turned on. It's about feeling like for those 3 minutes, there are only the two of you in the world and that you are the special customer. You know, that's part of, you know, the magic of what a great sex worker can do is, you know, not say, I'm just dancing for the money.
Yeah.
I'm just having sex with you because you're paying me. But they are able to imitate a feeling of love. And I just thought how funny it would be if, like, a mom came in there and she got really confused about what that love feeling was.
Yeah.
Is this girl my daughter? Is she my sister? Or, you know, am I her customer?
You are a sex worker.
Yes, I am a sex worker.
And you have been working in sex for how long?
2 years. I started when I was 20.
You told me you were 19.
Oh, yeah. I tell all my customers that. It's like a barely legal thing. It turns them on.
What does it mean to see other people as customers?
Doctors have customers. Psychiatrists have customers. People that work in stores have customers. A lot of people in this world have customers.
What if those customers had wives?
So?
You didn't feel a sense of responsibility?
No.
Sisterliness?
No.
That is Juno Temple and Catherine Hanna in Afternoon Delight, and I'm speaking with the director, Jill Soloway. In a speech you gave a few years ago, you talked at length about the movies you wished existed and the things you wanted to see in those movies. Is Afternoon Delight that Jill Soloway dream movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I've been emotionally and intellectually trying to uncover this notion of a heroine's journey,
mm-hmm.
what it would feel like to have a movie that's about what it feels like to be a woman. You know, in most movies, even movies that are about women, there's usually a guy somewhere, if he's not the director, then he might be the producer, he might be the writer, who's just putting a little bit in there about how he likes women to be and act and, you know, behave.
Yeah.
And that can either be, you know, 1% or 90%. But when you're a woman and you're in the audience, you can feel it because you have to give up certain things to be able to relate to a protagonist. We're used to being able to relate to a male protagonist. That's just natural. And then we're also used to being, you know, saying, well, women would never do that. But because this woman is on a huge, you know, giant screen in a multiplex, she has to act a certain way, the way that a male-approved female would act. And so, yes, it was totally my dream to say, this is a movie about what it means to really be a woman.
Well, there's a particular scene in this film that, as a man, I felt like, whoa, I'm really getting to see women being women alone. It's the scene where the heroine and her friends have their regular women and wine night, and they get sloshed and start talking about whatever they want to talk about.
I have a very attractive husband. I think we can all get on board for that.
Yes.
But sometimes a little... picturing a little, what's his name? Fassbender.
Fassbender.
That Jodie Foster movie on the pool table.
Oh my God.
The Accused. That was, was that a pool table or a jukebox?
They're talking about the actor Michael Fassbender and about the movie The Accused, in which Jodie Foster is being viciously gang raped on that pool table, and they're talking about getting off on that. If a man had dared to write or direct this scene in your movie, there'd be massive protests, right?
Demonstrations in the streets. Yeah, I actually want to give credit to an amazing joke writer. Her name is Claudia Lano, and she wrote that joke. I'm so excited to even have the conversation about rape jokes. I mean, I just feel like... Of course rape isn't funny. I like to say, I will stop writing rape jokes when men stop raping. But until women are able to live their lives without the fear of rape, which we've been taught to fear since we were small. So we have to be able to make jokes about it so that we can deal with the fact that this is out there all the time. Simply claiming desire, simply claiming the interest in sex allows you to be ruined as a character on any kind of a television show. Prostitutes are sort of only seen on television as corpses on CSI. These questions of rape, consent, are sex workers people too? You know, what is actual consent? What did consent look like for us in college? These unspeakable things. Who thinks about what their aborted children would be like? Unspeakable in the current feminist consciousness. Who gets turned on by the rape scene in The Accused? Unspeakable. To me, as a feminist, you know, using comedy and drama and art to set the stage for these conversations about these questions feels like just a huge privilege and really part of my vision for myself as an artist.
In Afternoon Delight, for such a racy, edgy premise, the moral of the story, I won't give away the ending, but it is surprisingly conventional. It celebrates bourgeois norms of marriage and commitment. Did you start with that idea in mind?
I was a little embarrassed when I watched the whole movie. I was like, this is a commercial for Family First. It feels very much like, you know what, the deepest joy in life can be found in the bonds of monogamy. It's a little embarrassing in this very radical modern day and age to have made a movie that's about love and marriage or love in marriage,
right.
Sex in marriage. I definitely knew from the beginning that I didn't want McKenna to ruin everything.
McKenna being the sex worker.
Yeah, I didn't want this to be a story about the sex worker coming into the house and exploding a marriage. I knew that I wanted McKenna to get out alive and that I wanted the marriage to stand. Those two things I knew. How close we were going to get to McKenna getting out alive and to the marriage standing, I wasn't sure about.
The characters, the female characters in this movie, I had a thought as I was watching them, these are like the people on Girls in 15 or 20 years. Were you conscious of any resemblance to Lena Dunham's people down the line?
Yeah. I mean, when Girls first came out, I had all these people come up to me sort of smiling like, so? Everybody told me that she reminded them of me, and it was really weird. And, you know, I saw Tiny Furniture and loved it and loved her and did feel like we were kindred spirits. You know, I feel like she did something. She really helped me because I had sort of gone into meetings describing, I want to do a show about a woman who, you know, she's not like Carrie Bradshaw. She's not perfect. She's not skinny. She's not obsessed with shoes. She's just a person. She's just a person like Seth Rogen or Woody Allen or Albert Brooks, and she's at the center. Nobody's looking at her. She gets to look. And I would pitch that in room after room after room, and people would nod. And as you know, that show never got on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw that Nicole Hall of Center said the same thing. Girls is the show she wishes she had created. I think we all wish we had created it.
You're just too old to have been allowed to create it, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, one person said to me, well, she couldn't have made Girls without you. I was like, thank you. You know, writing Claire Fisher allowed her to make Girls. I was like, I needed that. The truth is, when I did start watching Girls, I was pretty insanely jealous. Like, how did this happen? Yeah. You know, how did she pull this off without me? And then I heard something that she was doing a podcast, and she said something that her father said about this notion about, you know, sort of other women and competition and how maybe the rest of us would feel like Lena had done something now and what was left for the rest of us to do. Okay, she did Girls, now what? And she said that her dad, who's an artist named Carol Dunham, said, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I sort of took my jealousy and allowed that idea, a rising tide lifts all boats, to, you know, just become real for me. I asked myself, okay, what's my girls? You know, what can I do? What do I know? I know about marriage. I know about sex. I know about motherhood. I challenged myself to get as real with my voice as she got with hers. I believe that the thing that Lena has that all of us are most jealous of is that she was raised by artists. And so she never had to get over that time where she had to prove to herself, it's okay for me to listen to my voice. It's okay for me to want to see my voice. She grew up knowing that. She grew up knowing that the rest of us had to find it. The rest of us had to fight for it. It took me, you know, all of these years and watching quite a few episodes of Girls and Louie to give myself the permission to do it.
Thinking of Lena Dunham in Girls and Louis C.K. and Louie and Woody Allen and Albert Brooks, these great comic auteurs who also starred in the things they made, is that something you would like to do as well?
It's funny. In the pilot that I'm getting ready to shoot right now, there's a part for a woman who's more or less my age, and we've been casting it. And I did say, you know what, I'm going to go on tape too. I'm going to read. I'm going to see what it's like to see myself saying these lines. And I actually really liked myself as an actor, but I don't know if anybody else did. I mean, I feel like I got to a point with the possibility of me playing this role in my pilot where if I really wanted to, I could have pushed and said, you know, I'm going to act in this too, and mm-hmm. I'm going to play the older sister. And I just thought, you know what, I don't need it that much. I've actually found unbelievable actresses who are doing it better than I ever could have dreamed. And I'm super excited to be able to, like, just, you know, allow myself to write, direct, and produce right now. And I guess I'll worry about performing later.
That makes sense. Jill Soloway, congratulations. Thanks for making this movie, and thanks for being here today.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Afternoon Delight is the movie's name, and it is out now.
Skyrockets in flight.